The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mile, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Biology, it's Professor Greg Grabowski.
Hey!
What's going on, Greg?
Not much. Just
Happy
giving
Friday.
Lots of exams.
Oh, yeah. What classes are you teaching this semester?
Physiology, pathophysiology, and God bless the freshmen.
Are they going to make it?
Yes. I actually was beyond thrilled because I had a whole bunch of them before my first exam actually show up to ask questions. So there is hope.
Very good.
Yeah, I was thrilled.
Awesome. So that's a full compliment. Physio and pathophys and just everything. Yeah,
I run a tight ship.
Yeah, she doesn't...
Not that I'm doubting you.
She doesn't mess around.
Right. We're being joined again today by Ask the Professor fan Hank Durkin. We're very glad to have you here for homecoming at Detroit Mercy this weekend.
I'm glad to be here. I feel like I'm in theater as I'm an acting professor.
Yeah, well, we'll take it, you know.
And you acted well.
Accept the nominee and thank everyone. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of open sections that I need adjuncts for, Hank.
So, come on over.
I'm surprised Stephanie didn't say anything yet.
Still?
No, next semester.
I have a dozen.
All right. Summer schedule, right? Due in a couple weeks. Is that true?
Oh, I forgot that email.
Sorry.
I usually wait for the reminder email.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. At least the second reminder. But again, Professor Jim Tubbs is here from the Department of Religious Studies, enjoying cheese and remembering coconut cakes.
Hello.
It's a weekend of Southern foods. What are we missing here?
Pecan pie.
I can think of one thing, because I was thinking about it this morning. We haven't talked about pies. One of my favorites is buttermilk pie, the best thing about it is it does not taste like buttermilk.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes kind of like lemon.
Yeah, really? Yeah, I know what you're referring
good.
To.
Good, yeah. Very good.
I uttered oatmeal pie at some point during our last show, and so I've got pie on the mind, too.
I've got peach cobbler on the mind.
And
that's
pumpkin
too.
Pie.
Talking south here.
Mm-hmm.
Peach cobbler.
It's a time for the great end of summer treats and beginning of harvest treats as we wrap up summer 2019. Continuing around the table, I just realized the dyad made at this table by the former and current chair of the Department of Biology. It's Professor Stephanie Conant.
Hello.
That's kind of interesting.
I am very excited for caramel apple season.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Let's get serious here. It's time for a Honeycrisp apple to be dipped in caramel. That actually sounds really good right now.
Yeah.
Like
it
the
does.
Size of your head.
You can... Evidently, Nino's is my favorite place to shop. But they also have a caramel apple bar where you can just request what you would like it dipped and rolled in.
What? You don't even need a dip.
Ooh,
can't you just give me like
great.
A big bubble tea straw and just go at it?
Bubble tea straw?
I can't help but remember an episode of The Simpsons where Homer tried to pass off full Milky Ways as sprinkles on a donut. I'm guessing something similar, like we could probably get gummy bears on that thing, right?
Yes, or Oreos, totally covered in Oreos.
God.
Oh my stars.
That's hardcore. I'm trying to think of a fall-themed thing to do with the boys this weekend. My wife has a history conference, and it's going to be like 90 tomorrow.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm not happy.
Bring
that's
him,
when the
bring them here to homecoming?
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, they can edge a lawn, right?
Oh. We'll see. We'll see how it all works out. First, we've got to do some recruiting, right, Professor Conant?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'll talk to you
bright
after
and early.
The show.
Visit day.
Yes, visit day. Exactly. And last but most certainly not least, he's already drawn dice and cheese. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. What are you drawing now?
I'm just going to draw something.
Doodling.
I'm just doodling.
Should I get people to try to follow you on Instagram, Dave Chow Art?
I'm already on there way too much.
Yeah, I think that's great.
I post
cool
at
pictures.
Least minimally 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, that's cool. It's totally cool.
Just a fiend.
You said, good illustrators are always drawing and always looking for things to draw. That's cool.
What, I'm going to start taking requests online?
Well, possibly. I don't know. Do you do Inktober?
Inktober? I live it every day.
My son did Inktober last year, and he actually had a pretty good time doing it with his buddy, so we'll see if it happens again this year.
Really? No. You need a month to do this?
Well, for the people who aren't Dave Chow, not everybody can be Dead Files and all
true.
That,
That was on last night, too.
Yes, it was. I saw it.
I didn't.
Wait, were you on it?
Yes,
I was. Oh my gosh, I missed the pole part that you were on.
Oh, I didn't watch it. So
everybody should be watching The Dead Files. It's good for a
check. I heard it was good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
Well, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, including, if you don't mind, Dave, some relatively low-rate cable
sure.
TV shows about communing with the dead. And if you stump the panel, you win
That's
one of our prizes.
Theme, communing with the dead?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great.
Okay. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize, too. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on the Facebook. Or listen to your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okie dokie, look at this. Dear Matt and panelists, here it is, into your new school year, and like we promised, we've got a new set of 20 obscure questions for you and the panelists to tackle. I hope you find them challenging and worthy of spurring that always hilarious banter that comes with the responses. Our family had a great time coming up with the questions. Please enjoy. Warmest wishes, as always, Frank Burrows of Valencia, California.
But the family came up with these
questions. Oh, yes.
Ooh. Oh, yes. Child labor laws.
They have a round table every month, and they put them all together. They're a crack team. Let's see what we can do. Oh, these are good. These are good. What Broadway musical featured a song titled Hooverville?
Oh, Annie.
Annie, yes.
Huh? Okay.
Well, there's a whole bit of the show that's
set
all about
in the Depression.
Herbert Hoover.
She even meets FDR.
Yeah,
she does.
Meets FDR.
Mm-hmm. That was like my favorite growing up. I don't remember Hooverville though.
Mm-hmm. Hooverville. That was Hooverville was about like Depression era shanty towns. If I remember, that's literally what the song was about.
Yes, that's what they were.
Yeah. So they called them Hoovervilles. That's right.
Some on the National Mall.
Mm-hmm. What can you find? This is phrased interestingly. In Mary Poppins' hair. Let's go over to the original Mary Poppins. There's something that's in her hair.
She's got a hat.
She does have a hat. Yeah.
Straw, isn't it?
It's not straw, but you're in the plant
like
world.
Poppies like or ornament thing? Or poppies, sunflowers, daisies?
Daisies, yes. Okay. She wears daisies in her hair. Does Did
she?
You ever notice? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought they was on her hat.
Yeah.
Maybe. Possibly. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I did not see the new one.
I heard that was good.
It was pretty good.
I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hamlet was a prince of what country?
Denmark.
Denmark. Yes. It says it was the prince. I'm like, oh,
the melancholy Dane.
Denmark. Okay. How about this one? In 1923, where was the majority of the world's extracted reserves of helium?
It was in the
U.S.
It was
like Texas, wasn't it, or something?
You know, you're going to need to be a little more specific.
Than Texas or like...
Well, like some...
I did have this conversation with my students this morning as we went over exam key.
Well, like a Palo
Alto?
No.
Just in principle, because they were like, you know, you didn't ask us for all that other information. So I waited for a beat and I said... When, at any point in the 4 weeks of this course, have I told you to aim low and only give me the minimum? Like, and everybody laughed, so I was like, done, moving on.
So are we talking like Akron, Ohio or something?
No, it's actually in a specific object. I think that's what makes this a funny
Herbert
question. No, it's not Herbert Hoover.
Like, you mean like a natural like?
No, it wasn't natural. It was human-made.
What, like?
In the blimp?
It's in an airship.
It's an airship?
The USS Shenandoah, yes. Apparently,
the majority of it was the extracted reserve
of helium. Yes.
Oh, I thought it was like where you got it from. Because, I mean, that was that whole thing with the Hindenburg.
That's right. Yeah. Well, because that was hydrogen, right?
Yeah, that was hydrogen, but we didn't give them.
Because we would not sell them helium.
No. Right.
And the United States has the greatest strategic helium reserve of any country in the world. So. Oh, it's strategic.
Yeah, it's called Party City.
Yeah. Actually,
no, because I went there the other day and they were out of helium.
Yep.
So clearly not.
Strategy isn't working.
I can't help be at least a little bit green chemistry on the show today because the truth is that I believe that all of us, no jokes intended, are going to live to see the day when we just don't have balloons filled with helium anymore. Maybe not even balloons anymore. Because we need that helium to liquefy, to run NMR and MRI.
Yes.
And if we don't have enough of it, balloons aren't going to win. With all due respect, Stephanie. I've just noticed a lot of the outdoor balloons around my house have been filled with air and in these little supports, so it looks like they're floating.
Yeah, there was a shortage of the reserves in midsummer, and then it repeated it again this month.
Yes. So
you know, you can go to Party City or the dollar store, and they said, sorry, we're experiencing
it. Hey, I can see it now. Kids' party balloons be filled with hydrogen.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh,
that's
and they'll
party.
All take up smoking
light show
at that
at
point.
The
at the end.
Oh, my Lord.
Here, little kid. Here, have a cigar. Have a Tipperillo.
That's all it would take.
That's right.
In what year did Volkswagen introduce the Golf?
71 or
two? Oh, man, Jim,
82?
You're amazing. It says 75. I feel like that's close enough. You had the right idea. That was the tiny, tiny car, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a tiny car?
Yeah, I kind of vaguely remember that.
We have I also have three boys like Professor Conan. We're going through a serious slug bug phase.
Oh,
I'm like, that's great, except for I'm driving the car right now. Like, you're
you
smacking
can't hit
me
Dad
upside the head.
My kids are obsessed with seeing Teslas all over.
Oh, of course.
They're like, they're everywhere in Chicago. And I was like, funny, I parked next to one at school the other day. So.
Who's driving the Tesla?
Yeah, who here was
It was faculty,
the Tesla?
Too. Somebody is driving a Tesla.
Well, Greg's not talking.
No, I have a Sonata. No. Mine's very easy. It has all these bees all over it.
He had sap all over his car, and I came in and said, I don't know if I'm crazy, but just your car is covered in bees.
Stephanie's like, is there something you got to tell me? I'm like, your car is like covered with
your car
bees. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, oh, what? I was like, oh, my son got a car. I have to park it in the street under the tree. So my car's covered in sap.
What kind of tree sap was on it?
It's flowering, so there's sap all over. Okay. So the car's literally in amber.
I thought I was hallucinating. I was like looking at all the other cars. Like...
I literally got home and I took a picture that same day. And I'm like, look, Claudia, there's like 20 bees just on the hood alone.
You sound a little like my grandfather who always insisted if he kept his car parked outside, God would keep it washed.
The way it works in our house.
Kind of true.
Our son bought a new car. Your car goes in the street. Every other car is in the driveway. So my car can get hit in the street. Dad's expendable.
I see. Okay.
No. Oh, that's multiple ways.
Think of this name. What is Junko Tabai's claim to fame?
Those jeans.
That sounds about right, but that's not what it is. It could be Junko, and the last name is Tabei. Junko Tabai? What is the
claim? Not Junko jeans?
No, it's not.
Those bell-bottom ones?
No, it's not. Mm-mm.
Junko Tabai.
She was the first woman to do something pretty important. So I feel like we should know her name. Junko Tabai. Any ideas?
Political office?
No, not political office. She did something, it was a feat. It was a feat.
She was the first woman to fly a balloon over the North Pole.
I don't know why that's
first
funny.
First person to suck helium out of a balloon.
No, she was the first woman, recorded woman, who reached the summit of Mount Everest.
Oh.
So that's nothing compared to Alice Cramden.
How long after 54?
Good question.
Well, somebody had to go clean up after the two guys.
That's right. That's right.
We did hear a lot about that lately.
Yeah, Mount Everest is kind of becoming a sty. So.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Awesome. This one is essentially privately for Dave Chow. Huh? On the classic TV show WKRP in Cincinnati, what is Turb Tarlick's middle name?
Ruggles.
Ruggles is correct.
Holy mackerel.
And I don't know how you know that, and I don't want to know how you know that. And I'm moving on.
You don't
want to
know what vital piece of information he gave up to store that.
Yeah, I cheered up my blood pressure for that one.
Oh my gosh. You had to think about it, but only for a second. Mm-hmm. Collectively, what are Great Bite, Eclipse, Ipso, Peppersmith? Collectively, what
Eclipse
are...
Eclipse is a gum.
Chewing gum flavors?
Yeah.
I mean, you're close, but it's not. That's actually not what it is.
Read them again.
Yes, Great Bite, Eclipse, Ipso, Peppersmith.
It's not like candy bar? Anything on the moon or anything like that, is it?
Toothpaste, candy bars, and what did you say, Stephanie?
I didn't.
Or someone said gum. Someone said gum.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all in the wheelhouse with that stuff, but these
Salve.
Are...
Mustard plasters.
No, these are all breath mints. Oh. These are brands breath of breath mints. Oh. Yes. I could take my eyes away from ipso, which is a very important term in organic chemistry. And I was like, some people just find things that sound good and slap them into boxes and start selling stuff. What musical group had their devoted fans who were known as the Apple Scruffs? You should know this.
Apple Scruffs.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody in here should know this.
Apple Scruffs?
Mm-hmm. Who are the Apple Scruffs? I'm really surprised.
Mine's like the Beatles?
The Beatles, yeah. The Apple Scruffs are their fan club.
Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? I never heard that.
No backup information here, unfortunately. Hmm.
Huh. Yeah. George Harrison did a song called Apple Scruffs.
Well, that sounds about right.
Why weren't they known as Norwegian Woods?
That was Yoko Ono's.
Different fan club. What fictional TV family lived in the posh Colby East high rise?
The Jeffersons?
It was the Jeffersons, yes.
Moving on up to the east side.
Oh, wait a minute. So did the Willises and a whole bunch of other people. So.
Okay, well, you know.
The first.
You're the first, yeah.
Now we need to go three spinoffs deep. No, I'm just kidding. Dave would have it covered if we did, though. What are Meryl Streep's two collegiate alma maters for her BA and her MFA?
Vassar.
Vassar for her BA.
Yale.
And Yale for her MFA. I guess that's it. I'm trying to go home.
Good job, guys. Go to bed.
You guys know everything. Oh, my gosh. These great questions from the family and, of course, Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. And we are headed off from what are Meryl Streep's two collegiate alma maters, Vassar and Yale, for her BA and MFA, respectively. What country originally manufactured the DeLorean car?
Was it Ireland?
You know, it was not Ireland, but you're so close. It was Northern Ireland.
Oh, Northern Ireland. Okay.
Got to be careful here.
That's for the tax break, right? You know? If I remember right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I've already mentioned it on the air, but I can't help myself. Just absolutely incredible for anybody who studied the schism in Ireland for the last almost 1,000 years. The fact that this Brexit thing could actually reunify that country is just showing me that politics make for strange bedfellows. That's all I have to say. Sure. That is weird stuff.
I'm just amazed that their prime minister's got actually worse hair than our president.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
They're both bad. But.
What's the relation between the retailer Big Lots and the DeLorean Motor Company?
There's a relationship? I don't know if I've ever heard this before, and this is great. Big Lots, I mean, no offense, it's not exactly high-end retail. Mm-hmm.
Everything does smell a little bit like petroleum at Big Lots.
True. Yeah.
They provided the air fresheners for all the DeLorean cars.
Oh, my God.
New car smell.
Used car smell.
Used car smell. Used car smell.
You probably could context clues this if you think about the fact that Big Lots probably wasn't manufacturing parts or anything or selling anything for DeLoreans, but...
Did they end up with the overstock or something like that?
The leftovers. No, you're right. That wasn't it, but I like that answer.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No.
Like the Wayfair? Overstock.com, now selling DeLoreans.
Right, exactly. Or just parts of them. The parent company of Big Lots, Consolidated Stores Corporation, was an initial investor in the DeLorean Motor Company. And ended up with the rest of the inventory after it declared bankruptcy in 1982. So it is exactly correct.
Yeah, wow.
Just like that. Big Lots was an investor in DeLorean. You know, without that, we wouldn't have all the time machines.
Boy, there were some real steals at Big Lots.
Okay, so we have, it looks like, 8 uniform services of the United States, but we're only being asked to name 6.
U.S. Public Health Service. Coast Guard.
The Public Health Service and the Coast Guard. Got it.
Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. I'm done.
And there's only one left. You did really well. You passed.
Postal police?
No, but that's great. Yeah. I love it.
MPs, if we're going to go that way.
No.
Couldn't be like a...
You're not going to believe, because
service?
They've actually been in the news very recently as having a commissioned officer corps. I'll give you one eensy-weensy little clue, see if we can get there.
Space Force.
Space Force.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to confess to everybody on the air. I went to see Kid Rock a couple weeks ago, and his whole show opening is being shot out of a silver Airstream from space. And on the side of it, it says United States of America Space Force. Underneath it. I was just like the only person there laughing for its irony. The only person also who was sober. But your hint for this, the last commissioned officer corps of the United States is Sharpie.
The Weather Service?
Yeah, the Weather Service?
It's NOAA. The NOAA. Oh, yeah, the last commissioned officers. Can you believe it?
I didn't know that either.
Wow,
I know. Well, when you said Space Force, I'm like, well, what about the Ocean Force or the Atmosphere Force? Because that's basically what they
do. Okay, so all these are what, commissioned?
Uniform services of the United States.
So you're going to wear a uniform or a tele?
Well, I can't figure out. You know, the Surgeon General who heads up the Public Health Service wears the uniform of a Vice Admiral in the Navy, and I never could quite figure that out.
That's right.
Why that? Because Everett Koop used to wear them all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I can't figure out why.
Yeah. Everett Koop. It fits him?
He turned out to be a pretty wise guy. Didn't start
what
out that
animal
way.
Is prominently displayed on Puerto Rico's coat of arms? Also in the news recently.
It's not a whistle pig, is it?
It is not a whistle pig.
Oh, it's been in the news lately?
Puerto Rico's been in the news lately. Oh, Puerto Rico, of course. You know, just troubles with their governor and... Let's not see. Being able to
is
be
it a marsupial or a, it's be a rodent?
It's a mammal. It's I'm giving a partial credit. Oh. It definitely is a mammal.
Remember. It's like, isn't it like a like something you wouldn't think would be from there?
Oh, like a raccoon,
like a bear, or something,
a monkey.
You know?
No, I'm gonna like a brown bear appeal to your Catholicism and say it's a Catholic mammal. How's that? Does that help?
A lamb?
It's a lamb. Yeah.
Oh, say a lamb. I was gonna be like, well, I guess I'm not that good of a.
What are?
I didn't know you guys had mascots. I mean, that's cool.
There's like way too many to keep track of.
We kind of do. It's a very, very, I believe they're still at 99.999 repeating percent Catholic in Puerto Rico. So the Lamb of God does make sense. Okay. Yes. What are, oh my, see, they know exactly who they're writing to here. The three spinoff shows from Mary Tyler Moore.
Phyllis, Rhoda. Lou Graham.
Oh, yeah, my gosh, you guys.
Ed Asner was just turned 91 the other day.
Incredible.
He is amazing on Twitter, too.
Lou, really?
Yeah, Ed Asner.
Is he kind of like just super cranky?
No. He's really, really good.
Oh, I mean, wow. I'm going to have to start following him. All right.
Really interesting tweets. So.
Excellent. Who are the only two siblings to win an Oscar in lead acting?
Oh, great.
Olivia de Havilland and...
Who's the sister to de Havilland?
Dear.
Fontaine.
Joan Fontaine. What did you say? Stephanie?
I was going to say Ray Fiennes and Joseph Fiennes.
That's actually pretty good. No, that's pretty good. Oh. I think that there is Oscars there, but they might be supporting. So this is lead, and it's Olivia de Havilland
what
and
did
Joan
Fontaine. What for? I'm trying to remember.
Joan Fontaine...
And she passed like
it was. They were just a few years apart in the 40s. Yeah. The wins,
and the you know, and what blew my mind. I was watching TCM, and you know, Olivia de Havilland still around.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. So, I was watching Robin Hood, and it's like, oh my God, Maid Marian is still with us.
So early 90s, I would assume. Olivia de Havilland? Is she older than that?
She's gotta be up there.
80s? She's
probably.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Probably at least 90s. I mean,
okay.
Jesus.
Wow.
I said we cut her in half, count the rings.
We're talking Betty White territory.
Joan Fontaine was born in 1917.
Wow. My. There you go. Wow. And her sister probably a few years
Joan
later.
Joan Fontaine was her name, so I'd just be like, I live next to Joan Fontaine. So half the people knew what that meant, and all the young people were like, we have no idea what you're talking about.
She got it for suspicion.
There we go. At 310 meters, what is the tallest building in London, England?
The Shard?
The Shard is what it's called. That's right. That's a relatively recent addition.
Near the Gherkin.
Near the Gherkin.
Is that the twisted one?
The Shard is the one that it splits up at the top. You know, one side is higher than the other. But the Gherkin is the one that... It
looks
really
like a weird
family.
Like a that's right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow, you guys have some pretty vast knowledge here. Let's see how deep we can go here.
Roggles.
Partial credit. What vegetable in England is known as a courgette? C-O-U-R-G-E-T-T-E.
The gherkin?
No, that sounds pretty good, though.
A vegetable?
It's a vegetable. And it's a vegetable that's not actually a vegetable. It's a fruit, but people still call it a vegetable.
Well, so not a tomato.
So not a tomato. Partial credit, not a tomato. It's not a rutabaga. No.
Is it a cucumber?
It's not a tuber. What was that stuff?
Cucumber?
Nope, not a cucumber either. I'll give it away completely without even saying anything that refers directly to the name.
Just give us the color.
It's green.
It's green.
Green.
Aren't they all green?
Pepper? They're all green. It's like an artichoke?
No.
Because they always get weird names everywhere.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing where when people plant it, they're not thinking because it's usually April or May around here.
Hemp?
And then suddenly you're leaving it on your neighbor's doorsteps because you have so much of it. Yeah, it's a zucchini. Yes. Which, FYI, is Italian for little pumpkin. So it's not exactly that descriptive. And courgette is likely the French.
Little pumpkin?
Yeah, little pumpkin. Zucca is a pumpkin. So zucchini. Anything with eni on the end means little.
Little.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
More like an oblong.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Plum.
Just my kids are obsessed with that little bit between the commercials on Food Network where they tell you things about food. It's like, did you know that squash are actually fruit? Because I'm like, all right, great.
Thanks. Seeds on the inside.
You know, seeds on the inside. That's right. These questions have been pretty awesome. You know what else is awesome? The temperature in this room. So we're going to wrap up this show. One more to go. What singer was born Walden Robert Cassotto? Walden Robert Cassotto.
Like a Huey Lewis?
No, we're going back a little further from Huey Lewis. Okay. Not from the East.
Huey Lewis Sr.
'70s? A little further back.
Tom Jones?
Not Tom Jones. That's good.
I don't know. That's good. Just a very generic name.
It is. Yeah. Well, the name that the stage name this person chose was pretty generic, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid I might give it away. Maybe I won't. I don't know this crowd too well. So what if I said Splish Splash?
I was taking a bath.
I can hear the song.
Wow, I'm kind of surprised.
Hold on. It wasn't Bobby Darin.
It's Bobby Darin. Bobby Darin. Okay, yeah. Bobby Darin was born Walden Robert Cassotto. Why didn't he go with his birth name? I'm sure I don't know.
Walden. And here's Walden.
Walden DeSoto.
Okay, is it just me, or is Bobby Darin kind of just generic?
Yeah, but Walden DeSoto sounds somewhat ethnic, and probably at that time he was trying to avoid it.
Fabian.
Yeah, exactly.
Fabian Forte, exactly. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
The pretty boy.
It still kills me. I mean, I'm not the wokest person in the entire world, but you're shopping, and there's, like, the ethnic food aisle. And, like, it's just food, right? Like,
at
you know,
point.
I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's just
my house, it's
food.
Common, so.
Well, except for, I'm going to get it wrong. You already just said it. Jezebel sauce. What is it?
Yeah, Jezebel.
Jezebel spread. What
but
is
that's
it?
Straight up, like, from the America, from South. From the South.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone, I had a friend just made it, so. It's, what, apple spread, pineapple, preserves.
And mustard.
Mustard and horseradish. Okay.
So spicy and sweet, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh,
well,
so it's a sweet and savory.
It looks gross. I have to warn you.
Kind of like
most things are.
Yeah.
Things that look gross taste the best.
That's what I thought she was going. Pepper jelly? Is that what you said?
It looks like pepper jelly. Cream cheese.
Okay.
It
does.
Okay.
It makes a ton of that.
Yeah,
it's very good.
But, whoa, there's a little buzz behind me, and I think that means it's time for us to say goodbye. Dave.
See ya.
Stephanie.
Hi.
Jim.
Farewell.
Hank.
Bye-bye.
Greg.
Take it easy.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building and the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.